All things that you would be prosperous and be in health, even as your soul prospers. And I pray that we may know him together and that we might make him known. And we ask this in the matchless name of Jesus. And we say, amen, amen. Now give God a real good praise in the house. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We bless you, God. We give you glory. We give you praise, Lord, because you are so good and your mercy endures forever. I thank God for the musicians today. Chili, good job today. You knew I was going to mess with you. God will do. And I had a moment. I thought I could sing for a moment, you know, but I'm sure God knows and he hears our voices because it's to him. It's like, God, you know, thank you for, because certain songs we relate to. And thank you, Dion, as well. You didn't have a mic. He must not wanted the mic, but we wanted him to, because the Bible does say make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Even if you can't sing real good, just open your mouth and just say, hey, Lord, you know it's from my heart. Hallelujah. Yeah, I used to love hearing my dad sing. He wasn't the best singer, but I just liked it because he was singing to God, you know. And so I want to offer that unto God. And today, I believe God was glorified. So we've been talking about God first and what a God first life looks like. And last week, our subject was simple, focusing on putting God first in everything that we do. I think it's very important, and especially us as a church. There's no way that we as a church body can do the work of the kingdom without putting God first. We can go through our own efforts, but it prospers very little. You can accomplish very little in your own strength. Can it get a good amen? And if you want God to be glorified, you need to put him first in everything that you do. You know, as Jitu was saying, not just on an occasions, but when you get up in the morning, he's the first one that we should see. You know, whenever I get paid, the first thing I do is I go to God and say, God, thank you. And I remember him first with everything, not just some things, with everything. I remember him first when he gave us our children. First thing I wanted to do is say, Father, thank you for this child. I hold this boy, I hold this girl up to you because this is a gift from you. So therefore, I give this gift back to you so you can bless this baby in the name of Jesus. Are you with me today? It makes a huge difference that everything we do, we remember God first. When? First. And we begin to talk about an example. And in fact, truth be known, is when you talk about God first, it actually, you know, is the way that you bring joy to yourself, because it's only in his presence that we have the fullness of joy. At his right hand is there pleasures evermore. That's near him and in his will, his purpose, his plan. And we as a church, we're most happy, we're most blessed when we're giving God praise and when we're giving God glory. And there's a passage I'm going to read in the book of 2 Chronicles 6, 1 and 2. And you can get ready, and they'll have it on the screen. But let me start off by just saying this. God is saying here that he wants us to prepare a dwelling place. And this was Solomon's assignment. Solomon's call was to prepare God a dwelling place. Solomon's father was David, and we talked about that last week. We talked about the fact that Solomon was so called to the things of God that he listened to his dad, a psalmist, that said so many wonderful things he learned from him. Solomon was the son of Bathsheba. And even that has a lot of history behind it. And Solomon had learned a lot. He knew that God was going to eventually place him in leadership. And when he became king, and he was offering up sacrifices to God, because the Bible said that he loved God because his dad, David, taught him to love God, taught him to go before God. He saw his father seeking God's face. And Solomon, it was a natural thing out of what he's seen. How many of you all have seen parents or loved ones go before God? And you say, wow, that's how you do that. You've seen loved ones pray and seek God's face. It makes a difference. Our children are watching us. Just like they see you when you cuss somebody out. When you talk about somebody. Also, that's how you do that. But by the same token, when they see you praying and seeking the face of God, they also embrace those things. So Solomon saw his father, and he saw God just do amazing things for David. He saw God forgive David over and over again. He saw David write songs, and Solomon himself became a songwriter. He was a poet. He was the one that wrote much of Proverbs. And he was a man, he had a lot of knowledge. In fact, when God says, you know, after Solomon blessed him so much, gave him 1,000 burnt offerings, and that's a whole lot of burnt offerings, God says, I see your heart. And then he goes on and says, whatever you want, name it. Name it, Solomon. And Solomon didn't ask, how would I say, in a carnal way, or didn't respond in a carnal way, because many of us would have said, you know, I want this, I want that. I want to be known. I want to be great. I want to be famous. All of that stuff. He didn't say any of that. He didn't even say he wanted more money. No, I don't want my enemy's life. He didn't pray any of that. You know, in fact, some of us, I would have asked for 3 more wishes. I know it's easy. If you have 3 wishes, they moving on, y'all. But he didn't ask for that. He just said, you know, God says, you know, Solomon, you've blessed me. And so how can I bless you? Whatever you want. And Solomon said, he thought about it, he said, okay, Lord, give me wisdom, because I'm a young man, I'm a teenager, and I need to know how to lead your people. And man, his answer touched God. His answer touched God. It would be like, you know, your children saying, you know, you say, baby, whatever you want, I'll give it to you. And they say, Mom or Dad, I just want to be in your presence. I want to do your will. I want to do whatever you want. You say, oh. You know, you could touch God's heart like that. If you're not selfish, when you begin to talk about how can I bless somebody else, bless me so I can be a blessing. Are you with me today? This touched God's heart. I believe today that if the church would not be selfish, but we would begin to say, God, how can I be a blessing to somebody else? Bless us, God. Raise the church up so we can reach the world for you, Jesus. Somebody give him a shout in this house. Hallelujah. We love you, God. We love you so. God looked at Solomon and said, Solomon, you know, he said, because you've asked, you know, you didn't ask for the stuff that a lot of people ask for. He says, I'm going to give you your request. You've asked for wisdom so you might know how to lead my people, but I'm going to give you things you didn't ask for. That's why I believe when that scripture says, it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and the other stuff is going to be taken care of. It's going to be added to you. I believe that if we get God, that connection, this connection right, the rest of this is going to be handled. Are y'all with me today? Some of us work too hard on the vertical or the horizontal. Horizontal this way, right? Yeah. We work too hard on the horizontal as opposed to working on the vertical. When we get this tight, man, this seems to work out. Can it get a good amen in this house? Hallelujah. So as Solomon is receiving wisdom and several things take place, including some prostitutes coming and asking him, you know, said, well, this woman rolled over on her baby. We were sleeping and she killed my baby, and then she took the dead baby and put it under my lap. But then I looked in the morning and that wasn't my baby. I know my baby. And they was arguing back and forth. They brought these two to Solomon, and Solomon's job was to judge these things, and he needed wisdom. And some of you all need wisdom to make the decisions that you're making right now. And Solomon, the wisdom of God came upon him. He said, okay. He says, bring me the baby and bring me a sword. He says, let's cut the baby and let's divide the baby in two. The woman was, that sounds like a good idea. I'll get my half. Now, you know something's up, right? And then the other one said, no, don't cut my baby. I'd rather her have it. Did not her take the baby? And the people said, wow, that is the wisdom of God. Therefore, give the woman that didn't want to cut the baby, that's her baby, give the baby to her. His wisdom went all over the land. People said, I want to offer this before him because I know the wisdom of God. How many of us know that the wisdom of God needs to be present in our lives today? We need God's wisdom today. I don't want to operate in my flesh. My flesh will mess some stuff up. Can it get a good amen in this house? Some of you right now are in a place of decision making. And if you don't get the wisdom of God, you know, we're going to be in prayer. We're going to be in prayer. He said, we miss God on this. But you need the wisdom of God. Solomon also was tasked in his wisdom with building God's temple, a dwelling place for God. So let's read this passage. And it says this, and this is after he had built it. And man, when I think of how he built this amazing temple, he built it according to God's specs. And not only God's specifications, but everything was symbolic of how it was built. It had the outer courts, it had the inner courts, and then he had the Holy of Holies, and had the seraphims, and the place of showbread, and the candlesticks on one side, and on the inside, the Holy of Holies. Not only was it the Ark of the Covenant, but the seraphims was above it, and the glory of God, which would come and rest there in front of the priest once a year. And I'm telling you what, when I think about this, it's a type and a shadow of how God wants us to enter into the Holy of Holies today. Are you with me today? That's why our worship cannot be just from the head. Our worship can just not be, it's just a beat. Our worship cannot just be, I showed up to say I was there. But our worship should be an experience with God. It's a place of meeting, because we didn't come to meet each other. We came to meet God. Are you with me today? Somebody give him a shout today. He's a good God. I used to wonder why they used to call it the place of meeting, or, we're going to the meeting. Well, they were actually talking about a place of meeting God. And they wasn't, they didn't come late. They didn't come looking around. They didn't come looking what they could find wrong. It was God, I'm all in this. It's all about you, and I want to give you my best. When I think about how Solomon built this temple, he used some 20 tons of gold. Why? Because he wanted to give God his best. What if we would give God our best and not just half-step? Y'all not praying with me today, but if we would give God our best in everything. Boy, I feel a praise coming on now. I'm going to praise him by myself. God, I love you, Lord. I want to give you my best in everything. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. At this particular time, they had called all, and they had worked on this temple for some 7 years. Say it with me, 7 years. That's a long time to build. They had thousands of people working. But this was specifically for God. This is unto you, God. That's why the things that I do, I don't want to do them as unto man. I don't want to do it with my mindset focused on people. I want to do whatever I do as unto God. Because God, this, my praise is unto you. My service is as unto you. My giving is as unto you. Therefore, I'm not half-stepping. I'm not going in it half-heartedly. But I'm all in. And any all in people in the house today? All in. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. 7 years later, he's ready to dedicate his temple. He looks at it, and people are looking at it with him, and they recognize that they couldn't have done it without God on their side. And Chronicles 2. 2 Chronicles, actually 6, 1 and 2, and it reads, then Solomon said, and this is after, you know, they've gathered. He says, the Lord said that he would dwell in a dark cloud. Are you there? And then Solomon says, I have built a magnificent temple for you, a place for you to dwell forever. Y'all with me? 18th verse. But he asks a question. He says, but will God really dwell on earth with humans? This is a question. I want you to ponder that for a minute. The heavens, even the highest heavens, cannot contain you, God. How much less this temple I have built. But he goes on and says, but nevertheless, God, I'm going to offer it to you. I want to draw this backdrop for you, or paint this picture, establish a setting here. He's saying, God, I want you to look at what we've done. We've built this magnificent temple for you. But God, even this can't contain your glory. We build it exactly to your specifications, but even it can't contain your glory. Are you with me today? So I wrote up just my first statement, actually, the first point I want you to grasp is simply this. You know, that God still wants to dwell with us. He does. Even though we don't even understand, God, why would, you know, here's a temple, and why did he build the temple? Not just for the temple's sake. He wanted people to come in there and have a place to fellowship with him. Started in Genesis. Let me see if I can break this down. Need your help, Holy Spirit. God established the Garden of Eden. And then we see later on that God walking with Adam in the cool of the day. Why? He wants to dwell with man. Man falls and messes up. God says, I'll raise somebody else up. Then in the New Testament, he tells us in the book of John 3:16, for God so loved the world. That's me and you. You can put your name in there. That he gave his only begotten son. That whosoever believed on him would not perish. So in other words, you'll live forever, but you would have everlasting life with him. Are you with me today? Revelation 3:20, what does it say? It says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Do you get the picture? He's saying, I want to dwell with you. God still wants to dwell with his people. You mind doing me a favor, witness to a neighbor and say, don't blow in their face though, say. Say, God still wants to dwell with you. I don't care how much you mess up, how much you fall short, how much you don't do the right thing, God still wants to dwell with you. It blows me away. It blows me away. In fact, the writer says, and I'm looking what David said here, and he said in the 8th chapter, the 4th verse, he says, when I consider your heavens, God, you know, I look at the things that your hand has made, the moon, the stars, which you've ordained or you've set in place, you've ordered them. Then you ask the question again, what is man that you're mindful of him? Of all the things you've done and all the things, and we look in awe at the waterfall, and we look in awe at the Big Dipper, we look in awe at the galaxy, but this is nothing compared to man. He says, who is man? What's going on with man that you're mindful of him, that you think of him in the morning, that you think of him during the day? It's a love thing going on that God has with us. Are you with me today? Somebody bless him for loving you like he does. He says, for you have made him a little lower than the angels, and you've crowned him with your glory and honor. And he says, you've made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet. All things under his feet mean you've put all things under his authority. This is where God has placed us. And he thinks about us. What does he want? He wants to dwell with us. Have you ever been in the physical presence of someone, you know, physically in someone's presence, and they weren't really there? They were texting, they were posting, they were watching YouTube. You know anybody? They're doing it now? Maybe a child, maybe a grandchild, maybe a wife, and even my wife and I have to work on this because we like different things on television. You know, and she's not an NBA, NFL type person. She thinks NBA is Michael Jordan, and he's been retired. And I'm not a Little House on the Prairie type of guy, and sometimes we have to watch out because we are in the same room, but we're locked in the search. And she says, will you get off that phone? Can't you just watch a movie with me? I said, I'm sitting here with you, but I'm really not present. Am I doing okay? Well, you're there, but you're not present. And even sometimes in church or even at home, and God says, I want to be with you. He says, hey. We could be physically there, but not present. He is saying, here I am. And sometimes God shouts at us. He says, look at my son. I put it in place for you. And you're like, look at the moon. I did it for you. Sometimes I'll be, you know, you get up in the morning, I'll take a walk or jog or whatever, and I like nature. And I'll look at the sunrise. And I said, God, thank you. You know, you did that for me. That is for me. I just recognize that he's in the things that oftentimes we don't even recognize he's in. And he's present, but sometimes we're not present. For the next 21 days, our focus is to continue to put him first in everything we do, whether it's our conversation, whether it's in our songs, whether it's in what we talk about, what we think about. God, it's all about you. We get 21 days, and then I pray it turns into a habit. Now, sometimes that means you got to lay some things aside. So in order to say, God, you know, my attention, my focus is all upon you. Let me share this next point. When we are called to prepare a dwelling place for God, just like David was, you know, actually Solomon, David had the calling, but he couldn't do it just because there was blood on his hands. He's a man of war, the scripture says. But then Solomon has a chance to build the temple. And when he does it, we look at his heart at this time. And I definitely want you to remember this message because we're going to build on it. God gave me this because he says, I got to take the church somewhere. There's some carnal church. So he got a carnal church at large. What does that mean? It's not a knock on anybody. But if we can't hear the things of God, if all we're thinking about is here and now, it's a carnal church. If all you're thinking about is what you can accumulate and how people can cater to you, it's a carnal church. I'm preaching whether you say amen or not. I don't even care right now. I'm just letting you know that God is wanting a people that are mature. What happened to Solomon that make God want to bless him? He took a mature stance. He was a teenager, but he took a mature stance. He says, God, I want your will to be done. I want wisdom to lead your people. What if we receive wisdom to do God's will in this last hour? That's what we need in this last hour. We bless you, God. We honor you, Father. Thank you, God. We are called to prepare a dwelling place. Say it with me. We're called to prepare a dwelling place. And some of you say, Pastor, what scripture is that? Well, let's look at Acts 7 and 47. I'm not sure if they have 47 on there, but it says, but it was Solomon who built the house for him, talking about for God. It says, however, the Most High does not live in houses made by human hands. As the prophet says, this is the 49th verse, heaven is his throne and earth is his footstool. Then he goes on and says, help me read it. What kind of house will you build for me? This is New Testament. There's a question right now. Right now, what kind of house are we going to build for him? We already know he doesn't dwell in earthen vessels or in these kind of buildings with brick and mortar. So he asked the question, what kind of house? Now, only you can answer that because it's personal. Are you with me? And I pray I'm not being too harsh or anything today, but I just want to pour out of my heart today. What kind of house are we building him? Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Let me share an illustration. When I think of preparing a dwelling place, I think of what probably makes most wives not very happy with their husbands, and I think I can attest to that because when I bring people and invite people over to our house without her knowing, without her preparing, I can get in some serious trouble. You brought them where? Oh, yeah, it's me. We're just hanging out. You didn't take them through my house, did you? So, well, how come you didn't? I'm just like, and sometimes it's like, okay, I didn't mean to, but I'm saying, you know, how many of you don't like people over your house when it's not prepared? Yes, that's most hands that go in the house. Yep, you're right. Don't be bringing people over if I ain't ready. Dishes ain't ready. They in the sink, you know. But I think of the house of God and the people of God. How ready are we for God? How ready are we? And I know when I was in school in India, I had a partner. His name was Mike. He's a good guy, but man, we were both terrible house keepers. Boy, he washed dishes less than I did, and I washed them once a week. But I was 19, so y'all, you know, give me some grace, you know. So I remember sometimes we had people come over or friends come over, and we knew they were coming. What would we do? We throw it all in the closet. Spread something over the thing, man. Hey, we ain't doing nothing. We just, pushing this up. Can anybody relate? Some of y'all got some stuff in the closet now. But we are called to prepare a dwelling place. Well, what does that look like? I am glad you asked. New Testament, not Old Testament. We saw the amazing spec sheet that God provided for Solomon. We're not talking about Solomon now. We're talking about New Testament. Well, how does this relate? Because everything was symbolic. So therefore, you know, we got to get rid of some stuff. Ephesians 4:31 says, get rid of all bitterness. I'm talking about preparing a dwelling place for him to dwell in. How many of you all know you got to get rid of some stuff? It said, get rid of bitterness. Get rid of rage. Get rid of anger. Get rid of harsh words. Have you ever come to somebody's house and they had just got through fighting? And you could feel the spirit in there like, whoa, what's this? Y'all been at it up in here. Oh, yeah. I've been in churches, they've been at it. I walked in and I said, whoa. It was thick, man. I was like, yeah, so we just need to pray. Hallelujah. But there's some things you have to do to prepare a dwelling place for God. Are you all receiving this? There's some things we have to do to prepare. And sometimes, folks, I'm not prepared. I've got some unforgiveness. I've got some anger. I've got challenges with groups of people. You know, and I really want you to know that there's a problem that even with the body of Christ, because we're so divided politically, that the enemy is getting glory instead of God receiving the glory because we're trying to hold on to our point of view. I'm preaching better than you, amen, but that's okay. And then wonder, well, why won't God's glory fall? We have to prepare the Lord a dwelling place. We got to get rid of evil behavior. Then in the 32nd verse, it says we need to instead be kind to one another, tenderhearted. I don't care if you are right. I'm right. So if you are, you still have to be tenderhearted. Forgiving one another just as God through Christ Jesus has forgiven you. Thank you, God. Solomon was called to build the Lord's house. We're called to prepare our hearts. This is the house of God. Our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, to prepare our hearts, our mind. Can I challenge you? What areas do you really need to put God first in? What things do you need to clean out? Where do you need to put God first? What trash do you need to take out? What closets do you need to clean? My last point as I close. The reason God wants us to do this, because if we really want joy of our life and peace and fulfillment, it's in his presence. In his presence is the fullness of joy. Nothing else will help me out. Say it with me. nothing else will? How many of you all have tried some other stuff? And it don't satisfy. It just doesn't. You can stand on your feet. Thank you, God. Glory to your name. In the presence of the Lord is the fullness of joy. At his right hand, there's pleasures evermore. Can I also let you know, folks, that the ones in the streets, they still are looking for something. And they will not find it in drugs, alcohol, cocaine, fast women, and slow cars. Or fast men, whichever the case may be. How do I know? Because all the things that I thought I wanted, when you got them, they really wasn't fulfilling. Remember, you all can remember too, when you got what you just thought you had to have. I gotta have it. And once you got it from Amazon, it was okay for a minute. Then next thing you know, you got all kind of Amazon boxes. We think you in business with Amazon. You a distribution center. And I'm guilty. I'm not telling you something. I'm not preaching to you. I'm relating. How can I know this? I thought I needed this little other computer. The little thing you plug into it. And I needed another tablet because it had a new doodad on it. That stuff don't satisfy. It's only in the presence of God. Woo! Thank you, God. Somebody give him a praise in this house. I mean, let's bless him for real. Glory to your name, Father. I got to be really, really real with you all. And I have been. Man. And I'm going to take this deeper next week. And I encourage you to be a part of it because God put this in my heart. And this is not me. But he went on to let me know. He said, son, remember a number of years ago? Well, your focus was a lot different because you had less. Are any of y'all like me? When you had less, your focus was just tight on God. Why is it that when we get more stuff, it can take us from the presence of God? When we usually just, God, everything belongs to you. I wake up thinking about you. I go to bed thinking about you. Now, God has blessed America so much that our attention is so divided that oftentimes we don't focus our attention upon him. When even when we come to church, we come late, we want to leave early. It's like I got so many things that God says, wait a minute, I'm trying to raise up a church in this last hour. Why didn't you stop the music? Just keep it flowing. Thank you, God. This is our time to put God first. Everything that we do. Thank you, Jesus. Will you just, right where you are, just bow your heads and know your pastor loves you and love God even more. I believe that God is maturing a body of believers that we can reach a generation. Father, give us wisdom like Solomon. And God, when you ask us, what can you bless us with? God, we don't need another thing. We just want you, God. Whew. Father, may there be a desire for your church. May there be a burning in our hearts to love you wholeheartedly and fully, fully devoted to you, God, withholding nothing, God, withholding nothing. Forgive us, God, for the times that we ran after the things of the world. Forgive us for the times that we didn't put you first. Father, thank you that you love us so much that even though we fall short, you still want to dwell with us. Father, I thank you, God, that even right now, we say yes to your will. Thank you, God, that we are the one that, as you're knocking, we open that door. We say, come in and sup with us, God. Father, may my passion for you be greater than my passion for a ball or a sports event. May the fire that I have for you be the highest priority, God. I present my body, a living sacrifice to you, God. Wholly acceptable. That's just our reasonable service. So, Father, take all that we have and receive it for your glory, God. In the name of, and Father, we can never outgive you. We can, everything we have, God, is because you gave it to us. And Father, when we give it back, you'll give us more with interest. So Father, we thank you in advance. Father, I thank you for the one that's been searching, looking different places high and low. And I thank you, God, that you revealing that the only thing that'll satisfy that thirst is more of you. So Father, we pray that you fill us with more of you. Now take us from this place, but never from your presence. And we ask it in the matchless name of Jesus. And we say amen. Anyone wants prayer, you can come this way. God bless you. I love you. Join us in prayer and fasting this week.